San Agustin was born of the sea, nursed and cursed by the sea, caressed and plundered, made and destroyed on the bosom of great waters. As the sea belonged to all nations, so is the history of San Agustin, in a great part the history of all men of all countries. I bring you Christopher Columbus, as the sea brought you Columbus. The great Christopher Columbus, come forward, who as a youth from the high places overlooking the Genoa Harbor could see the lanteen-rigged coastal schooners below, dreaming of the time when he could command a ship on the blue Mediterranean and sail to the unknown seas beyond. Christopher Columbus, who on that morning of October the 12th, 1492, stepped upon the shores of America, making this one of the most important landings in history. Christopher Columbus, the great discoverer, whose magnificent seamanship and powerful leadership made possible that long voyage over the Sea of Darkness. For on that momentous first voyage, with the flagship Santa Maria scudding along under full sail, with her pennants flashing in the sun, the face of the whole world was changed. Your world and mine. Christopher Columbus, rise. See him at Guadalajini, with the royal banners of Ferdinand and Isabella bravely flashing in the early dawn of that Indian summer. Fade then, O Columbus, into the tapestry which is the history of America, Floridia, and San Agustin. The sea also brought us a legend, and from that legend, it lured the great Ponce de Leon to the shores of Florida. Juan Ponce de Leon, famous in fable, is famed far more in fact, for he it was who opened the southern vastness of the Northern America to the seekers of gold and to the savers of men and to the settlers of land. Juan Ponce de Leon, born in Spain at San Gervas de Campos, accompanying Columbus on his second voyage to the New World. The great Ponce de Leon, valiant at Granada, captain of the troops in Santo Domingo. Ponce de Leon at San Juan de Borquin in search of a fountain to restore his youth. It was nearing Easter in 1510 and 3 when the great Ponce de Leon sighted the virgin landscape of what has since become San Agustin. Weave now, O Don Juan, into the tapestry of history as I bring before you and share with you the history of San Agustin. And so begins our story. 263 years before the birth of the eminent American composer Stephen Collins Foster, the story in the folklore of this treasured, hallowed spot, which was named La Floridio and San Agustin. You would hear her history. You would unlock the door of her past. Will look you now and hear you now as I begin to paint for you in glowing colors the ageless wonder of history in the making. Each brushstroke is a moment of the 388 years that she has existed. I paint a wilderness, streams and matted undergrowth and trees. I mingle sand and sea and sky. I see an Indian village. The palm-thatched huts and glowing fires, those tangled weeds and the wonder of all the blooming flowers, all this and more I see was San Agustin. Until one day in 1565, when a lone vessel dropped anchor, forerunner of many vessels to come, and in a matter of hours the shores were teeming with the little longboats. See with me now, in your imagination and upon the stage, the proud cacique Camuhina, as he hastens to the water's edge. Camuhina, enter. He is troubled. He is weary. See the lovely maidens, the Indian princess Ramona, daughter of Ramon the Spaniard, and Lodesca, the Indian girl. See the lovely Indian maid Mariposa the butterfly, and little Pequina, the littlest one, submissive, all peer eastward to the chief. See them as they stand before you. The chief of the Indians is troubled and angry. He needs help. He raises his arms to decree that Mariposa be sent away in return for help from a neighboring cacique. Hear now, Kamuhina.
Mariposa! Mariposa!
See Ramona now, as she pleads with soft words and gestures. She knows that her sister is to be sent away.
Tadja, ha!
See Pekina as she tries to remonstrate, but to no avail. And Mariposa, watch Mariposa. She is seething with indignation. She is moved to open anger and rebellion, but first she too must plead. She stamps her pain, her fear, and her confusion in the dance to the moon god. See the Indian chief as angry. He walks to the side, turning his back to Mariposa's dance. And the maids follow. Kamuhina is unmoved by her plea. Mariposa must go away. Prostrate at his feet, she knows she must do his bidding. And now, with pomp and great ceremony, the mammoth expedition was landed upon the shores of La Frida. For on that day, on the 8th day of September, in that morning and early autumn, that historic hour, the Don Pedro Menendez Diabolus, the great Adelantado, stepped upon our shores and raised the standard of Aragon and Castile, took possession in the name of the Spanish monarch, San Agustin, was born. Riding at anchor a mile and a half off the shore was the flagship San Pilajo, while upon the shores the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the outward sign of Spain's great religion, had been celebrated by Father Grajales. Come forward then, O Padre Francisco Mendoza y Grajales. See the Padre as he comes forward, and observe Menendez as he turns to face the priest. Pedro Menendez raises his sword and pledges his all, his life and his fortune, to God Almighty and Philip of Spain. Sheathing his sword, Menendez turns and faces Kamuhina. Kamuhina has been nervous and worried, but after a salute, they fade into the history of San Agustin. And from that moment until this very night, San Agustin has never, never been abandoned. and seeing that Menendez means no harm, Kamuhina bids that Pekina will do the dance of thanksgiving, for Mariposa need not be sent away. Pekina, child of the moon god, come forward. Pekina, O child of the moon god, begin. Fade then, O Father Grahalis. Menendez steps forward, lifts the child, and places her by his side. This part is what I call the foothold, the one half league, more or less, God's own acre, that precious spot from the street of the May to the street of the pines to the street of the ocean. Here in these small squares, in every grain, in every bit of little sand, in every block, it is hallowed. It is treasured. The faith of my people for 390 years, their courage in the face of danger, their struggles will always be a part of the Presidio de San Agustin. Romance and pathos and mystery and even the racy mingle dramatically with the commonplace in the annals of our city. Attacks by the pirates, raids by the hostile Indians, sieges, pillage all dash through its episodes and mingle with the colorful dress of the Indian and the Spaniard and the warrior and the dark-robed priest. It makes a beautiful picture, an age of romance, an age of magnificent undertakings. And one of the more spectacular events was the outcome of a pirate raid on the 9th of June in 1668. And the swashbuckling buccaneer came in the dead of night while the settlement was fast asleep. See the pirate seals as he comes forward. For it was one nightmare, one night in the history of our city that never will be forgotten. It shook the government and the people into instant attention, and the 15 years that followed were memorable for the reason that the great Castillo de San Marcos was begun and substantially finished. Pass then into your rightful place, O Searles the pirate, into the tapestry, the mural, which is the history of San Agustin. The years pass before us. Such disasters and perplexities that have occurred in the past years have only strengthened San Agustin. Pause with me now to observe that Spanish capital. For as we emerge upon a shrubbery plain, we see the young Presidio de Español nestled upon his swell of land. It is 1760. See San Agustin as I see her. Not more than 3/4 of a mile in length, scarcely more than a mile in width. I am here before you again. In the brilliance of the morning sunlight and the evening moonlight, the towers of the great Castillo are etched against the sky. From the four bastions to the northward gates, west to the fortifications near the Talamato, southward to the Barrio de San Francisco, where once was my monastery, east to the Calle Marina are my limits. My streets are well laid out. We have the Calle Marina, the Street of the Gates, the Little Camininos. See all these houses with their Tuscan pillars tall against the southern sky. And now the people who populated this little city in that period. I bring to you the governor of Florida, His Excellency Lucas de Davilos de Palacio and La Donna Maria Josefa Enta. Their excellencies. Take your place in the mural which is displayed here, Your Excellency, and observe them as they stand, for they will greet the ladies of the settlement, the ladies of this presidio who preside over the little houses. See them now. La Donna Francesca Gonzalez y Quivara, come forward. La Donna Juana Fernandez y Baeza, come forward. Lovely Eliana Horuthina, come forward. La Donna Francesca Menendez Marquez de Melo, come forward. All members of San Agustin's native colony, they bow to His Excellency and take their place in the tapestry of history. The houses over which they presided are for the most part still standing today. And now, if Your Excellency will so honor us, will you step forward and speak to us for a moment? His Excellency, the Governor of La Florida.
When, in the course of events, Alonso left us in 1758, great responsibilities were placed upon my shoulders. Had I known then the short time I would be spared to fulfill my many duties, I may have performed more creditably. Last evening, as I strolled in the garden, the West Garden, it was damp and dark. I walked close by the wall of Del Rosario and out into the silent darkness near the Campo Santo. I recalled tales of long ago, reports of those who had gone before me along these paths. Montiano, De Solis, Salazar. Men of long ago, their shadows seem to caress my form, and I imagine I hear their voices cautioning me again and again as I walk the length of the playa and look out over the water and dream of my dear home so far away. Longing, loneliness, and being heartsick cloak the mighty as well as the lowly. And the heart of the high-born is no less susceptible to pain. But we have our joyous moments as well. On Thursday, we were proud to attend the wedding anniversary celebration of Don Antonio Juan Alonso. His gardens and groves were a riot of color and pleasing to the eye. For the most part, this was a time of peace. Today, I looked out of my tower. The sun shone with a brilliance unequaled. Many ships rode in the harbor, riding at ease in the sunshine. A drama of laughing voices, flashing eyes, parading soldiers, and children at play met my eye and warmed my being. On the morrow, I go to the palace with the royal treasurer. I shall inspect the outer fortifications and shall have lunch at the convent. We shall have our years of want and our years of plenty. but the sunshine will always follow the rainfall. Somewhere, the high, piercing wail of a newborn will be heard, and somewhere, an old one will breathe his last, grasping tightly the hand of the father. Esteban will shyly woo Carolinda neath the walls of Santa Catalina. And I shall know that for a short space all is well with my people in the city San Agustin.
I kiss Your Excellency's hand and bid you fade into history.
Your Excellency.
Observe them now as they stand here before you, and let me tell you a little of the Spanish town over which he ruled. Past the bulwark of Santo Domingo, along the line of fortification whose earthen palisades were fronted by thorny protection, past the bulwark of San Jose and Santa Catalina, along the wall of Del Rosario, which was the back of the governor's mansion, past San Cristo de la Soledad and Santa Barbara, around to the gate of San Francisco. Here we have the little town of San Agustin, 1763. The street of the Royal Hospital was fragrant with groves, secluded with cooling arbors and charming with patios. And presiding over one of these charming patios was the lovely Francesca Gonzalez y Quivara Dominguez. Come forward, O lovely Francesca, and tell me a little of your story. Share with these people and with me a part of your life.
This is my story, and it's all a part of the story of my walled-in world in what is known as the Presidio de San Agustin. I am called Francesca de Quevara, and it was in the spring of 1704 that I made my appearance into a household so willing to welcome me and so anxious for my well-being, a house that had known such sorrows from the fevers. Little sisters I would never know except by name. A little brother left this world just as I came into it. Stories of the scourge and the Indian raid come back to me. The storm that deprived one cousin of his legs, another his life. Then there was the dastardly raid of the English, those hated British, in 1702, destroying all the sacred places. I remember Grandmama telling me about it. It was on November the 11th, 2 years after the century 1700, when our enemy from Carolina, led by Governor James Moore, descended upon this place by land and by sea. It was most fearful. 16 vessels, brigantines, Inlanders, and one 16-gun warship. 500 men came by land, and it was thought over 400 by sea. For 2 months, they made their attacks in sorties, killing over 60 of our good men. Not satisfied with this, they set fire to the houses of the settlement. The heat and flame and fire and smoke are memories that Grandmama will carry for many days. But there were happy memories, too. I grew up. My playground was the Playa, the walled Castillo's Plaza, and the cool, dark woods of Santa Barbara. I remember my first big adventure. I was about 6, and one day I was allowed to go down to the land gates to meet Papa. And he let me ride across the drawbridge on his horse, Pampero. I sat alone in frozen and stately fear and joy all the way up the Road Royale. I rode in silence to the very gates of the palace. Then, in unrestrained delight, as I realized the horse would not hurt me, across the Playa, down the marina, to the gates of San Francisco. This was a wonderful thing. Then came another spring, This time, 1723, and I was a bride. I have all but forgotten the confusion and elation that preceded my wedding, but certain small things I shall never forget. Mama weeping and spilling wine on her blue velvet gown. The smell of burning wax. The haze in the church at High Mass. The incense. And my nose itching horribly. I married Tomas Gonzalez on the most beautiful spring day that ever happened. Papa had few relatives in the settlement, but Mama was a Dominguez and related to nearly all the residents of the Presidio. So everybody, just everybody who could walk or crawl, came to see Josefa's daughter marry a Canary Islander. Tomas was from Facoronte on Tenerife. And we built our life together in this little settlement from the very first upon mutual understanding and love. Our cousin Gregorio lives to the east, and his good friend Francisco Aguilar lives to the west. Juana and Elena are but a musket shot away. We love every foot of this presidio. We know even by dark every inch of each little camino. Every yard of the Cruzada Segunda and the Bulwark del Rosario. Yes, this has been my life for several years. And pray God, may it be for many, many more.
Pray God that it may, Francesca. Say now, O lovely Francesca, into the tapestry which is San Agustin's history. Moments, aeons, eras engulf me. Time speeds on wings of thought. It is 1786 now. I should judge that in this area I have upwards of 2,000 persons. Into this small area during these crowded tense years in my so few houses near my gates, by the creek of the Matanzas, in the Plaza del Castillo, they mix and they mingle. Above me, as you know, colonial America was seething. These were stirring times. Tales of the fracas that was the tea party of the Boston Harbor, the long dashing ride of one who called himself Paul Revere, and the patriot who cried, "Give me liberty or give me death." That was the festering sore of hate that finally ended in open warfare. And San Agustin was so close to this historic change that they could feel the fire of its breath upon its face. When we are to know it all, I should judge that I might have heard the dying gasp of Britain's last stand in the colonies, while at the same time the high wail of the burning pain that surely will be called the birth of a nation, your nation and mine. And yet here we must live on in these changing years. I am British Augustine. Come with me now as I pass from the Calle Marina into the Calle near the old monastery and see those who peopled San Agustin in these years. Enter then, Mistress Robert Catherwood. Lovely Mary Catherwood, who bestirs the settlement. Wife of Dr. Robert Catherwood. See Dr. Andrew Turnbull as he comes forward. Founder of the Menorcan colony. Scotch gentleman from England. Leader of the colony of the Mahones. Take your place in history. And now, their excellencies, the governor of Florida, in these years, Governor Manuel Vincent de Zespedes, the Donna Carolinda Maria, their excellencies. Pass into history, your excellencies, as I bring before you the people from this presidio. The girls of the Mahones, Susanna and Elizabeth. Don Francisco Pellicer of the Menorcan Colony, come forward. Don Luciano de Herrera, gentleman planter, first Florida family, who remained in St. Augustine after it became a British possession, the gentleman who was called the Spanish spy. And the ladies of the Presidio, enter now, O ladies, the Donna Agitha Villalonga, the wife of the famous Bernardo Seguí. Come forward, Agita Villalonga. The lovely Italian Menorcan girl, Antonia Paula Bonelli. This beautiful woman who was an Indian captive for 22 months. Come forward, Antonio. The beautiful Eugenia Heather E. Salazar. And the charming girl bride of Francesco Sanchez, the lovely little 16-year-old Maria del Carmen Hill. The exciting and fascinating Antonia Vanes Alvarez, wife of the famous owner of the old house of San Agustin, Don Jeronimo Alvarez.